Hello and welcome. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting tonight. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting tonight. Okay, so starting off then just with item one on the business, which is apologies.
Chair, we have apologies from Councillor McAteer and Councillor Lewis.
Yes.
And Marie Ward as
well. Marie Ward, yes. Any other apologies from the floor? No. Okay, item number two then, declarations of interest. Me? No. Okay. And item three, which is the action sheet arising from the Strategy, Policy and Resource Committee held on the 15th of August 2024. Can I get a proposer and seconder for that, please? Yeah, Councillor Byrne, and I'll second that. Okay, item four, which is the action sheet arising from the special SPNR meeting, which was held on the 27th of August 2024. Could I get a proposer and seconder for that? Yes, Councillor O'Hare, and a seconder, please. Yep, Councillor. Yeah, is there any questions or anything from newspapers? Manager. Okay. Oh, apologies there. So item five then, which is the assessment of performance for 23-24. I'm going to give that to Jared Byrne. Hold up, sorry, Jared, just you're not on. Your mic's not on. That should be you now.
Me now?
Yep, that's you.
So, members, in front of you is the assessment of performance for 23-24. So, the Council has a statutory requirement to produce and publish an assessment of performance before the 30th of September each year. So, I suppose the assessment of performance covers our own performance improvement objectives, statutory performance indicators, and then some self-imposed performance indicators also. So attached to Appendix 1 is the full document, the assessment of performance, which will be published on our webpage. And then Appendix 2 is a more user-friendly summary document, which assesses our performance for 23-24 and also highlights our performance improvement plan for 24-25 for going forward. So I'll just draw members' attention then to Section 3.1 in the report. And it's for members to consider and agree the assessment of performance for 23-24, including the summary document at Appendix 2, and also to agree that the assessment of performance for 23-24 is published by the 30th September 24 on our website, but this would be before full Council ratification. I'm happy to take any questions on the reports.
Thank you for that, Jared. I'll bring in Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Just as a missing from this assessment of performance for me is income from the green economy. I know we've had a couple of motions over the last 3 or 4 years, each seeking an indicative target for management in gleaning income from the green economy, which will be heading towards 5 million by the middle of the decade, which we are almost at. So at some stage, I'd like to see those indicative targets included in our performance report, because we have discussed them extensively before. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, it's just in relation to the stats on cleanliness and supported community litter picks. Is there a reason why the litter picks support is down? Because I know, see, just ironically, over the last few days, I've been receiving a lot of complaints about litter across the district. I don't know why it sort of seems to have spiked. But, you know, I don't know, is it a result of the holiday period or whatever? I don't know. But is there a reason why the community supported ones have gone down? Or, you know, what could we do to encourage that figure to go up a bit?
You want to come in on that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. In relation to the green economy, income from the green economy, there were no targets set for income for the green economy in this period. So it's something that we'd be looking at in future assessments of performance. When green economy projects are set, we'd be setting anticipated income, and they can be reported through to the appropriate committees. In relation to the litter pick support, the target figures have been set during COVID, and they have been reviewed where there was a lot of engagement in terms of the stay-at-home message and community involvement in litter pick support, litter picks and support from the council. The same services are available through the S&E department for community groups, and that is something that we will encourage and support. So we can have a look at, you know, get that message out to the community groups.
Councillor Riley, do you mind turning your mic off?
Sorry, thanks, Henry. Is there anything we could do in regards to local schools? So, like, you know, some of the complaints I'm receiving are about students at schools. I would have thought that generation of people would be more sort of aware of not dropping litter, but I was just, you know, was contacted today and it's not the first time, and I sort of thought to myself, the schools are back now, there probably is a wee bit of an increase, you know, especially around bus stops and things like that. So is there something the council could play a role in, maybe through the DEA coordinators, to reach out to local schools and have some sort of campaign to encourage them to use whatever litter facilities there are? Obviously, there's always the request for more bins. I'm not sure that actually works, because, you know, you should really know yourself to wait until you get the bin or put it in your pocket, the way my children used to do. But, you know, I just think that's an easy win and an easy start to get into the younger generation to get good habits. So if it's something that could be looked at, it would be appreciated.
Just coming back through the chair. So if there are specific areas and specific events around particular schools, we can certainly look at targeting interventions around that. We do work through the schools with our environmental coordinator, so I can take that back to see if there's any, probably through the DA coordinators.
That's good. Thank you for that. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Madam Chair. You know, it is important that the council be able to be transparent in how it's improving or continuous improvement in the exercise of the functions that the council is responsible for. The problem that we have as councillors is that the functions that our council is responsible for, they are dependent on outside bodies being progressive and responding quickly. And I was actually shocked, and now I'm thinking specifically about planning, where we're getting a lot of stick, councillors and the council. And if you look at the percentage of where the percentage of the applications where the NIEA respond within the statutory timetable, it's 37%. I was actually shocked. And they are holding us up. And that in turn is holding economic development within this area. It's holding up a whole range of things, from water sewage plants, sewage treatment plants, you name it, all the things that we're dependent on. and we get the blame for not delivering on. So I think Minister Muir has just recently taken over there. It's not his fault, but I think it would be very useful for this committee to invite him down just to explain the difficulties that the lack of efficiency within the NIEA is causing, and ask him if he could take measures to mitigate against the delays. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay. So Councillor Taylor is seconding that proposal to, and yes, yeah, so I kind of let Connor come in then just to respond.
Chair, it may be useful that there is statistical reporting that our statutory consultees publish through NISRA, and in advance of maybe a meeting with the Minister, it may be useful that they're shared across the Council members so they have an understanding of the latest statistics relating to our consultation responses from our partners in the planning process. So that's something I'm happy to share a link with the members, so as they have that information at hand.
Madam Chair, thanks for accepting that. It's so important because we give our directors stick at times, and the public gives us stick on these issues when it's, you know, so clear that it's not our fault, and the public deserves to know the truth about what's going on. And I think the Minister is in a good position now to, you know, jizz these people up a bit. So it'd be very worthwhile, I think, Madam Chair.
Yeah, so I just want to check that all members are content that we write to the Minister to invite him to go on to discuss statutory consultation planning. I think, is that the proposal? Can you just clarify your proposal, please, Councillor? Just put your mic on.
Just that we invite Minister Muir down to explain to him the difficulties that the council and especially councillors are facing because of the inefficiencies of the NIEA in responding within the statutory timescale for consultations on planning issues in particular. Thank you.
Just to be pointed at clarity on that, is it just NIEA that are behind with the cons? You know, like, are they? Is it specific to them? They're the worst, but there would be others, obviously, would there? Rivers, for example, or. Okay.
Yeah, just make sure. Can it, do you mind if I bring Councillor Chauvin in or next, just because he's in the queue? Yes.
Yeah, Chair. I suppose we're actually preempting some further conversations around planning as well, because I don't have the information in front of me just to say NIEA is the challenge. You know, Historic Monuments Department, you know, maybe a specialist area. You know, Minister Muir may not just be the only minister that we actually need to invite down, and is obviously we have to give the minister his place, but like, is he the right person that we need to be speaking to? You know, should it not be the head of NIEA and understand, is it, you know, a resource challenge within their organisation, similarly to the challenges that we have faced within the planning department within our own council, which thankfully is stabilising? You know, is the minister really going to be able to give us answers? Whereas if we have the people doing the job, providing his answers may be the better solution, or so. But I'd prefer to hear from our own plan department of where we foresee challenges from our consultees is, more so than hearsay.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. No, I was happy to second Councillor Riley's proposal to try and, I suppose, establish why there are issues in terms of that department, and there are other agencies where there are delays experienced at times, but certainly I think we should extend that invitation. It may not be accepted. We do write to ministers on a regular basis on various issues, and we do find that quite a bit of the time that those invitations aren't accepted and offers are extended then to meet with officials on those issues. That may be the case in this regard as well, but I certainly think the point of contact, we should, you know, contact the minister's office to extend that invitation to him. But if Councillor Reilly, if you know, if we do get even an invitation from officials, to at least get an explanation as to where the difficulties are. We have had our own issues, as already has been outlined by Councillor Sharvin, in terms of our own department, and that was a resource issue. It could be the same in other departments, but you would at least like to get an explanation as to why there are delays experienced.
Madam Chair.
Just, I'm going to bring Councillor Clark in just because he's next in the queue. Yes, Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. No, as previous speakers said, there's obviously other statutory bodies, you know, in regards to consultees for planning. Moving forward, and if any are, you know, coming out as a major issue, then certainly we should be writing to NIA in regards to that, to understand why their slow responses. Is it to do with resources, personnel? I know in Rivers Agency there was issues with resources for people on the ground and stuff like that. So to ask the minister to come down to talk about that, I just don't think the minister will have time to come down and talk about that. I would imagine he's extremely busy. No, moving forward, I'm not taking any away from what Councillor Riley's saying. But if we sort of hear, we have a plan item on the agenda, you know, so it might have been better to wait that opportunity, maybe give officers time, you know, maybe to come back in regards to how we move on. I don't want to talk about it really much more, just that within the plan legislation, it is in the gift in regards to the council being able to put time limits on statutory bodies. As when we done our training, we went to Fife, and they introduced that they had a certain period of time to respond. And that, as I say, that's in the plan legislation now. Is it an opportune time? Is it a serious enough situation that we have to look at that aspect, to put time limits on statutory consultees moving forward? But I'll talk more on the plan when we get the plan.
Yeah, thank you. Conor, do you want to come in again there?
I just would probably repeat what I advised earlier, that there is a report that provides a lot of detail around statistics, around response times specific to our statutory consultees. They're considered the same as the planning department, are considered against various targets, and they're reported through various bodies, and they all report into NISRA. So there are, I think it would be useful that members had a full appreciation of the overall picture in respect of our statutory consultee responses, just as a matter of course, that maybe would inform a further discussion.
Just given what Conor has said, and that some members have indicated that they're not aware of all of the detail of the figures of statutory bodies, is it perhaps makes more sense to defer making a decision on writing until we have the paper with the statistics in front of us, so then we know which ministers or officials that
to write to? I was going to withdraw the proposal until we get sight of the report from Mr. Mullen, and then if the committee thinks it's worthwhile, then we proceed with it.
So members content then to wait until we get the statistics from NISRA before we write? Okay. Yeah, proposer and seconder then for that proposal. Councillor Taylor. And Councillor Hannon, second. Okay, thank you, members. We are now on item 6 then, which is council remote / hybrid meetings. I just want to say I'm very much welcome the return of hybrid meetings, hopefully, to our meetings. I think they're very beneficial and ensure that meetings can be accessible for members. You know, we all know there is times where we're unwell or, you know, just have a crazy day with meetings, and I think this is very welcome, but also very much encouraged to still have members in the chamber for proper discussion and debate, and I would be happy to propose this item. Councillor Taylor, I'll bring you in.
Yeah, Chair, similar to your own comments, they're obviously welcome the fact that we've been able to come to a position on this. I obviously wasn't involved in the group leaders' discussion on it, but I suppose the one point of clarity maybe I was looking was what's deemed exceptional circumstances.
Okay. I'm just going to bring Josephine in first, and go from there.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So this paper tonight is here for decision. You can see from the paper, it's in the back of legislation that's been brought in June 24. It was discussed at party leaders. You can see the recommendation at section 3, where statutory meetings, it would be expected to be in physical attendance in the chamber except in exceptional circumstances, which Councillor Taylor, you've just mentioned there, non-statutory meeting to continue to be held remotely in a hybrid manner. Speaking rights, this we're looking at the practicalities of this, so speaking rights of those delegates within the chamber will be exhausted prior to taking queries from any remote delegates in order to make the meeting more manageable for chairpersons. So those are the two recommendations. The second came from a good discussion at party leaders, because we're trying to look at the practicalities of working the two systems. I think, Councillor Taylor, in relation to your question, it is very difficult. Absolute answer and exceptional.
I welcome the paper, obviously, and the councils across Northern Ireland will take probably maybe their own decisions on this in terms of the format they use, and I think some already have, maybe, and have been maybe open to more than what we are proposing. And I have no issue. I think it's good to be in the chamber, and that's where the best form of engagement takes place. But I do understand that some occasions people may be ill, or they may be away with work on business, but still want to participate in council meetings. But I suppose it's just probably getting that bit of a definition as to what would be termed acceptance circumstance. So it's not a situation where a councillor every month saying, well, not going to be there tonight, you know, and so I'll use a hybrid approach. I suppose it was just, if there was a bit of a, an idea what that meant. But listen, I'm not making an issue of it. It's just, I suppose, as part of that discussion that took place at party leaders, was there any idea or any suggestion made about what was deemed exceptional circumstances? I just suppose creates a bit of certainty as, just a bit of clarity in that. But if there hasn't been anything defined, that's fair enough. But it was probably just to try and get some clarification on that, given that it wouldn't have been part of the discussion at party leaders.
I think it's still very much encouraged for members to make the effort to be in the chamber. I think we can all agree that when everyone's present, it's easier for discussion and debate, and also for the chair to chair the discussion. So I think, but it's very welcome all the same. Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Rice then.
Yes, Chair. No, we in Sinn Féin welcome this in principle. We welcome this for the fact that councillors that maybe can't attend meetings, especially those with different reasons, be it childcare, different exceptions, but there's certainly a democratic merit to this, so people that can't make a meeting physically, they can still attend and still represent their constituents. So we still contend, though, that is a matter of last resort, as has been already mentioned, so we're happy enough.
Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair. I suppose, first of all, to answer Councillor Taylor's questions of party reps, the word exception was a challenge for a lot of us on the call, because we were trying to understand what an exception would be, and it's up to the individual probably to make a decision of what is an exceptional circumstance for them rather than the council dictate. But I do still have an issue with the word exceptional circumstance, and maybe it's extraordinary situation or some sort of wording that we would need to consider. But certainly, from our point of view, we fully support the hybrid approach where it is required. There's many circumstances that people's lives, things can come up. That someone may have organised childcare, and unfortunately that childcare becomes unavailable and they have to be at home to support the family. We're fully endorsing the opportunity to offer the hybrid, but from our perspective, we are encouraging our group to be in attendance physically because certainly since the return of being physically in a room, it has helped build the discussion and also build a rapport again with officers and fellow members. But yeah, I think the exceptional circumstances wording, we may want to reconsider of how we display that.
Thank you, Councillor Tower. Do you want to come back in?
Yeah, very briefly. Listen, I'm happy to second the proposal, obviously, but I suppose just once we have this fully adopted after full council in October, I'm assuming that protocol will be advised to all members after that there, just so we know if somebody does find themselves in a situation, what they have to do in that instance. Is it contact Sarah or the director responsible for that particular meeting? Just to find out, you know, what the protocol or criteria would be.
Yeah, it would probably be through ourselves because we would have to then send you through the link. So at the minute, we're obviously operating hybrid for the press. So we do provide a link, but going forward, which is probably going to come in and paper further down the agenda, the new system that we have is able to fully integrate remote recipients or remote delegates as well. So hopefully going forward, we'll be able to fully implement that.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon?
Yeah, it's just, I know there's a bit of a discussion going on around exceptional circumstances, but I think it needs to be noted, we're all adults and we're all elected representatives to be here in the chamber where possible. But the reason that hybrid is being brought back and the reason it is being endorsed by the large majority of councillors is because there has to be a recognition that councillors work full time, they have current responsibilities, they have children, they on occasion go on holiday, and you know that allows the democracy to continue, that it allows them to link in to meetings, but it is always preferable to be here in person. And I think we did discuss it maybe on the paper that if you're online, you're actually going to be down the line to actually come in and speak because of the technical challenges with that, and it makes it easier for the chair to manage. So you're actually, if you do stay at home for the next 12 months, you're disenfranchising yourself by doing that, because you're going to be sort of behind the ball and being able to come in on debates and things. So we did discuss some party leaders, but we can't be prescriptive on this because everybody will have their own circumstances. And I would say, speaking for our own group, the ideal scenario is we're all here, but there are a number of reasons that come up. I myself, on Monday night, was sick and couldn't go to ART. I probably could have logged on, but that option wasn't there. So that's a good example. I try not to miss, but you know, there's always going to be something. And I just think that this gives a flexibility. And we've seen how well it worked during the COVID years, I'm going to say. And it's good to see it coming back. But we can't be prescriptive about what, you know, what are the circumstances. It just wouldn't work, I don't think.
Sure. Just briefly again. Listen, I wasn't looking to make an issue of it. I just want to make that clear to Councillor Hannan and others. But when you're not part of discussions that take place regarding the, you know, it's important. This is my forum to get clarification on these things, and that's why I'm taking that opportunity. So,
thank you, Councillor Taylor. I appreciate that. I think we do have a proposer and seconder, which was myself as proposer and Councillor Taylor as the seconder. Josephine, you just want to come in there?
So, as Sarah had said earlier, we will be setting out protocols and things like that. Exceptional, unavoidable, those type of words, but I think it'll work out over the next.
Okay. The following items, members will be taken in closed session. Items 7 to 17 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I please get a proposer and seconder to go into closed session? Yes, Councillor Ware and Councillor Rice is seconding. Yep.
Okay. Chair. More point of order. Point 16 is not about public purse. Why is that? In closed session.
It's a legal matter, so it does fall within that definition.
Okay, thank you, members. So whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 7, operation and support of audiovisual solutions. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the development of a business case supporting the appointment of an IT resource to manage, operate and support the solutions and their users, as well as other audiovisual solutions deployed across council buildings. Item 8, STA approval. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Howie, it was agreed to approve the STA as outlined within the Councillor's report. Item 9, tender of postal services. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Howie, it was agreed to approve the full business case for the tender of postal services as outlined at Appendix A of the officer's report and tender for Council's main collection and sorting mail service using a postal service framework agreement available to all public sector bodies. It was further agreed that the contract be awarded for 3 years. Item 10, insurance premiums 2024-25. On the proposal of Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to note the additional spend for insurance premiums for 2024-25 and subsequent additional payments / year-end adjustments to date. Item 11, funding application. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that council officers prepare funding submission to MHCLG and associated business cases for projects under the theme set out in Section 2 of the officer's report that meet the eligibility criterion and be delivered by March 2025. Item 12, multiply funding. On the proposal of Councillor Mather, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to approve the business case for the appointment of a delivery agent to undertake business numeracy initiatives. Item 13, public right-of-way. On the proposal of Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Howie, it was agreed to approve the decision that subsequent to investigation and legal opinion, Council do not assert the path shown in Appendix 1 as a public right-of-way and to notify all landowners and interested parties of this decision. Item 14.1, contractor procurement and appointment. On the proposal of Councillor Sharwin, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to commence procurement and appointment of a contractor to complete the upgrades to infrastructure and services outlined in Section 2 of the officer's report. Item 14.2, contract procurement and appointment. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Taylor, it was agreed to approve to award the contract for site investigation works as outlined in the officer's report. Item 15, the acquisition of land. On the proposal of Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to approve the purchase of land from the landowners noted within the officer's report at the purchase value quoted, subject to contract and conclusion of legal process. Item 16, planning department update. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Clark, the following was agreed. To note the contents of the report and the proposed additional performance improvement actions, to approve the appointment of additional planning officers from a reserve list following the current recruitment exercise, to approve the additional budget allocation as set out in section 4.1 of the officer's report. Item 17, the enhanced flood scheme update. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, the following was agreed, that members agreed to notify DfE of Council's intentions to close the scheme to further applications or letters of offer on the 7th of November 2024, that members agree the proposed themes to be recommended to DfE for unallocated budget. And item 18.1, report from minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on the 4th of June 2024. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Mathers, it was agreed to note the report from the minutes of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on the 4th of June 2024. Thank you, members. And then the last three items on the agenda are for noting, so I will take the three together. Any proposer and seconder? Yes, Councillor O'Hare.
Yes, just on item 19, the women's group meeting, I'd like to thank the council for their ongoing work on ending violence against women and girls. and just to mention it's so important that it's not underestimated and that it needs to continue to be highlighted. I'd also like to echo Councillor Finnegan's sentiments that rural areas across the district also need access to the workshops that are made available. And I'm delighted to hear from the safeguarding coordinator that council are open to that suggestion and will work with partners in local community centres to ensure that it's not just the large urban areas that are serviced with these workshops, but it's across the district. Thank you.
Are we happy to propose?
Yes, happy to propose.
And Councillor Quinn?
Yeah, I'm happy to second, but just again on the Women's Working Group, I just want to know if there's been a date clarified for the Support and Global campaign that's going to be run from the drop-in Ledge Centre. I know it's noted here for late November 2024, but I was wondering if there's a date. Not.
There's a provisional date of the 25th of November for Newry Leisure Centre and the 26th of November. And that'll be communicated out to all members.
Sarah and Councillor Byrne, do you want to just come in there?
Sarah's done the date, but from that date, the campaign was down in the Newry Leisure Centre, all done by Gary during the week. To be launched for next week. So all that's going to talk answers next week on that campaign. So just goes to show coming out from that group, the 16 days of action. Sure, November. Really, really good.
Okay. So Councillor Quinn, you happen to second them? Yes. So and Josephine for just regarding the last item.
It's just to highlight to members, the NILGA regional programme is on the agenda. And I know that members generally, there's a lot of members that would take part. And it's just to encourage members to do that as part of their own elected member development and as part of then us working towards the charter.
Okay, thank you. So, proposed by Councillor O'Hare and seconded by Councillor. Okay, thank you and safe home.